It's the middle of January, so we are on the other side of the equinox, and technically, our world is getting a little bit lighter every day. But the days are still short, and even on a sunny day, things look bleak out there, because everything green has shriveled up and died, except...
So I love coming here for the natural sunlight and just the greenery, and yeah.
Cafe Equinox is in a tree nursery, family tree nursery in Shawnee, and it's a whole nother world, a lush green world full of plants. The coffee shop where you order is right inside the door, but once you get your coffee, keep going. Follow the signs to the greenhouse, past the bonsais, past the tropicals and the mini tropicals and the ferns, and you'll stumble right into a big, bright, open space full of nooks walled off by rows of plants. So you can kind of disappear into the foliage like a couple hanging out there on Tuesday was doing. They were sitting close together on a secluded little bench in the sunlight.
I'm working and he's going to school, so we're in a long-distance relationship, so it's fun when we're together and we like to do these things.
On a previous visit, I saw a lot of families with little kids. But this Tuesday afternoon crowd was very Gen Z. Lots of college students, kind of studying, but also hanging out and talking. And most of them said,
"We came here just for the plants."
You're in the middle of winter and everything's kind of gloomy and dead. It's just a place where you can be surrounded by a lot of life and get sunshine, even though it's cold outside.
And I've seen pictures of it on Instagram and I thought that it was really cool, so.
I love plants and I love coffee.
It's just wonderful here. I love being around the plants.
One hospital worker was hanging out with her friends and she was feeling especially grateful for the change in scenery because she really doesn't get much sunlight.
I've been working night shift for the past 4 months, so sitting in the sunshine has been really healing.
The manager of the store at Family Nursery, Tim Flynn, says they'd been talking about putting a coffee shop among the plants for a long time before they actually did it last year.
We opened up that location in the back room, and so people can sit out amongst the plants in the sunshine and enjoy their coffee. And people who come in here, we hear it a lot, it's their happy place.
Fueled by caffeine, chlorophyll, and lots of happy vibes, I definitely feel ready for whatever January has in store, even on a rainy day. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and you are listening to our first food show of 2020. To kick this thing off, let's hang on to that optimism. We're going to hear now from the producer of these food shows, Mackenzie Martin. She's new to Kansas City, and after a few months here, she is writing a report on the state of dining in 2020. Hi, Mackenzie.
Hey, Gina.
You've been here since October. Care to tell our listeners a little bit about where you came from and the shift in food culture that you've experienced?
Yeah, so I'm from northern Wisconsin, or the Northwoods of Wisconsin. It is very much a much colder place. It is full of supper clubs, lots of great German food, great cheese.
Supper club?
So it's kind of hard to describe the culture that is a supper club, but they're very much a social institution as well. Lots of regulars, lots of formal meat and potato dining specials, and there are a ton of them, and they're like down winding roads in the woods in northern Wisconsin.
And I don't mean to stereotype Wisconsin, but I mean, you have to have a lot of cheese.
Yeah, we have a lot of cheese. And fresh cheese, too. Fresh cheese curds. I'm told that's something that is a little bit harder to find in Kansas City.
So you may have come from the woods of Wisconsin, but you are really into food, and especially cooking, and our grocery stores were a major point of interest early on when you were, like, accepting the job and thinking about moving.
Yeah, I love Trader Joe's. I could go on about the benefits of Trader Joe's for a long time.
Can you specifically talk about the many different things you can buy at one grocery store in Kansas City?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do feel like previously where I was going to one place for something like bean sprouts and another place for something like kimchi. And now I can go to one place and I can get both at the same time. So it is really exciting to have a lot more options in that department. And I'm slowly figuring out the best places to go for different things.
How has producing Central Standards food shows influenced the way you kind of learned the food scene here?
Well, I feel pretty spoiled in the sense that usually when you move somewhere, especially when you're a food person like I am, you have to do a lot of research on where you can get the best insert dish that you're really into. And I've been lucky in the fact that we have all these food critics that come in every 2 weeks and they share recommendations for things that I want to know. So I've been privy to a lot of great information and they have not steered me wrong yet.
What are some of the things that have been interesting to you as a new person in town just going out, specifically having to do with what food we seem to have a lot of and what it might be harder to find?
Well, I'm happy to say I haven't had trouble finding anything too specific yet, so that's good. But I do feel like you have a lot of places where there are a lot of restaurants together, not just aside from the food halls, which were a trend in 2019 and will continue to be a trend in 2020 here. There's also places like River Market, and there's so much variety there. And it's also a little bit overwhelming if you have trouble choosing one item. So I think it's great.
So are you exploring kind of neighborhood and restaurant district by restaurant district or in some other way?
Yeah, I would say that's what I'm doing. It is a little bit more fun, though, to find some place that's kind of hidden off. I live in Midtown, and it feels like there are a lot of gems kind of tucked in between the neighborhood.
So you are in the final stages of putting together this State of Dining 2020 report, and you started out asking a bunch of other people what they are watching heading into this new year. What are some of the tidbits that caught your attention?
Well, yeah, I've been working on this with our managing digital editor, CJ Janovi, and one thing that caught me a little bit off guard was how big of a deal the dining industry is for, like, the state of Missouri. It accounts for 10% of the jobs. So it kind of means that even if you don't care a ton about restaurants, it's really important that that's a healthy scene for the whole state's economy. And also a lot of people are depending on that. So that was something I pulled out that was interesting, but also there are a lot of more restaurants that are coming up that are appealing to specific diets, like plant-based options, which is great and interesting and definitely something to keep an eye on.
Anything else that you think of as like a highlight of something that you're watching?
There are also some breweries that are coming to the suburbs, kind of breweries meeting people where they're living if they're outside of the metro, which is another way to kind of build a local place and to kind of add more spots outside of the metro.
Something you have been researching for this by the numbers section of the report is how many barbecue places we have in Kansas City. Do you have an answer? I would love to know.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty relative answer. There is a barbecue experience app. I don't know if you know about this.
I do not.
From Visit KC. It's an app you can download. It's from So they have over 100 barbecue restaurants listed, and you can actually go through and scroll them and kind of track your journey. And that's what our number is right now. It's just over 100 is what we've got.
So, of course, all the high-profile closures at the end of the year, and in fact, already this year, really kind of frame your report in some way. That's just inevitable given the timing. Tell me about the research you've done and the conversations you've had to try and make sense of those closures.
It's a little bit tricky because some people think that closures and bankruptcies even are kind of a healthy part of a competitive restaurant scene. So there's that side, and some people weren't surprised necessarily, but other people were surprised by the specific closures. And looking ahead to this year, we don't know for sure if we'll see more of that news, but some people definitely anticipate we will. And one of the big questions that comes to mind that we'll be keeping an eye on is whether we can sustain as many restaurants as we have and kind of what our capacity is for keeping those restaurants safe and secure.
Yeah, it's a new year. We're optimistic, right?
Yeah, we are optimistic. And there's a lot to look ahead to this year. So we'll also have some fun things to keep in mind as the year goes on. Food festivals, restaurant openings, all of that kind of stuff.
What do you hope that we'll be able to do more of on our food shows? What are some of the curiosities you hope we can satisfy?
I think my favorite part of the food show so far since I came in October have probably been the way that we sometimes have chefs on to talk about kind of the personal stories behind their food, because food is a very personal thing. And I like hearing that. I think it can sometimes make the food taste better. So I'm looking forward to kind of digging into more iconic places and also some of the new places into those personal stories.
Well, Mackenzie, it has been a pleasure having you so far, and it's been great having you on the air as well. But I mean, it's been great having you so far. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Mackenzie produces our food shows, and The State of Dining, which she is currently writing, will be online at kcur.org on Wednesday. Check it out and send us a tweet if you think we're missing something. There's still time. We are at KCURCST. But for now, it's time to call in with your favorite brunch spots in Kansas City. Tell us what they have, what you order, why you like it, the whole thing. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and now we're talking about brunch. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the really amazing brunch place you know about. What do you get, and what makes it perfect? Tell us everything. 816-235-2888. My guests this morning are Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
And Mary Block, blogging about food and dining at Around the Block. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Liz Cook reviews restaurants for The Pitch. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Gina.
And everyone, is everyone here a legit brunch fan?
Definitely.
Oh, I mean, how can you not like breakfast? I mean, with booze. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, of course. Of course we love breakfast. So yeah, I'm a brunch fan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an approachable way to, I think, get into some of these higher end restaurants too. It's a little more of an affordable price point. So.
Very true.
There is something there's something a little bit European about this big leisurely midday meal with adult beverages. And Mary, for that European vibe, you enjoy crepes at Sava.
I love Sava. It's my favorite place for a boozy brunch. I love any blush sparkling wine, and this place has a great selection. But of course, they'll have mimosas and whatnot, and you can still get a cheese plate, quiche, crepes. It's a touch of France in the middle of Westport.
And your favorite, if you had to pick a favorite thing to order there at brunch, what would it be?
Probably one of the quiche dishes. They do a really nice job with quiche.
Cool. So that's Sava in Westport. Jenny, you are directing us to if you're thinking about a very different kind of brunch, a Middle Eastern restaurant that satisfies your brunch cravings without booze.
Right. So because we're talking about brunch in January, I think it's only fair that we give a few options that aren't surrounding booze or necessarily even have booze as an option, because there's plenty of really good breakfast places. And a lot of them happen to be more kind of international cuisines, which is the case with Nazareth Sweets Baklava and Cafe in Lenexa, a little kind of no-name strip center that has actually several different Middle Eastern restaurants that are really, really good. This is kind of interesting because they serve on Saturdays only. I think from about 10 to 1, kind of this Middle Eastern breakfast, which is just a lot of metze. It's just like small plates and hummus and like soups, hearty soups that will stick to your ribs. They've got a few egg dishes that are specific to them with lots of herbs. It's a very interesting kind of way to taste a lot of different Mediterranean flavors. And it's very hearty. If you kind of think about labneh with, pita that you can dip it in, which is this really creamy, lovely cheese. And then they serve it all with Turkish coffee, which I'm telling you, if you need a little rev up. Turkish coffee will put the fuel in your fuel tank. But it is. And it's reasonably priced, but you get to taste an awful lot of different things. And I think that's what makes this so interesting. In addition, just briefly, they also have these wonderful Middle Eastern pastries. So please end your meal with at least a to-go bag or something there at the table that you
sweet.
Baklava and many, many other beautiful little Middle Eastern cookies and things like that.
The name and location of this restaurant again?
Yeah. Nazareth Sweets Baklava and Cafe. And it's basically right at kind of 87th and I guess it'd be kind of I-35 in Lenexa.
And so then how about Los Alamos Cocina on the west side? They've been doing these breakfasts and brunches forever, but it's only just recently caught on.
Yeah, well, so they've made a transition. They used to be kind of half market, half cafe, and they've slowly kind of phased out the market piece. And so as of last year, they completely flipped it over and they're now calling themselves Los Alamos Cocina. And it's still the same great food that everybody knows and loves them for. And I'm telling you, if you're missing your like Mexican breakfast, this is a great place to kind of scratch that itch. I'm lucky it's three doors down from where I live, so it's really hard for me not to just bop in there on the weekends, which I often do. I always just end up somehow getting chilaquiles or huevos rancheros, but they also have obviously more kind of interesting dishes that you can kind of get, and you can kind of get your weekend hangover cure there as well. But coffee, and my secret kind of tip there is get a cup of coffee and also get a horchata and blend the two.
You're lucky.
That's my brunch drink at Los Alamos. I just sit at my table and kind of make my own. But the combination of all that together to me is just makes a perfect kickoff for the weekend.
I will have to try that sometime.
Oh, and they're open Sunday, too. So Saturday and Sunday at Los Alamos, which
nice.
Is good.
Nice. Liz, you have a brunch. You're calling it your brunch beef, and that being the wait to get a table at any place that's good. Discuss.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. There's so many great brunch places in town that people recommend to me all the time, and I'll try and go, and they'll tell me, like, oh, the wait's about 40 minutes. And it's like the epitome of no one goes there anymore. It's too crowded. So I will never there are so many places I will never experience. But what I love is brunch restaurants that take reservations.
Before we get to that.
Yes.
Tell me about one place. So good, so totally worth it, that you are willing to wait.
So I will say Succotash does not take reservations, mm-hmm. but I will wait for them.
Every time, yeah.
It's kind of like, it's not your classic fancy brunch. It's kind of like the antidote to aspirational brunch. You're not going to see anyone with a blowout wearing a wide-brimmed hat there taking photos of their food, right? Like the walls are inked, the servers are inked, everyone's like wearing a wool beanie and drinking coffee like they stayed out too late the night before. But it's just a fantastic place for like piles of fried potatoes and pot roast and eggs. And it's also a great place to go if you are doing a little more plant-based food or, you know, going
there are a
with
lot
a group
of
people
yeah.
that are vegetarians, because they've got a few great vegan options too, including they've got the vegan sink, which is, you know, a pile of fried potatoes with lima bean hummus and succotash. And then they also have, for sweet toothers, a stack of French toast with vegan bacon that's super crispy and caramelized bananas and sticky almond butter, which is delicious.
The Mary, other great... you are also recommending succotash.
I'm a big fan. And if you can go on a day other than Saturday or Sunday, have at it, because they're open every day.
And they serve all that brunch
They
stuff.
Serve all that every day. So you can get breakfast in the middle of the afternoon. My favorite is their pork hash, which is a deconstructed version. So it's got crispy potatoes. They have a wonderful roast pork, which is the same one that they use in their Cuban sandwich, which is my favorite lunch item there. Black beans and a fried egg. It's wonderful. But you're right. It is hard to get into. So you've got to pick your time.
And so, okay, that is a place that qualifies as like, they do have a line, you're gonna wait probably on the weekend anyhow, and you're willing to, Liz, but you have found a place with reservations that you are very excited about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So my kind of go-to if I'm like entertaining guests from out of town and I need to know that they're not going to wait for 40 minutes or stand around is Westport Cafe and Bar, which is this like French bistro in Westport. And they take reservations for brunch, which is fantastic. And they also have really great brunch options. So it's a very like cute, sleek environment. And they have a lot of great dishes. So they have a few different versions of your classic like Eggs Benedict, Eggs and Hollandaise, one of which has smoked salmon on it. It's the Eggs Norwegian, which is really good. But typically when I go there, I'm getting the chicken hash, which is like, if you're just starving, this is what you want to order. It's got like huge shreds of chicken confit, which is really tender and succulent. And you've got those crisp fried potatoes, which is very important, and a runny egg that just becomes this sauce that glosses over everything.
You're speaking my love language with that runny egg.
Oh, yeah.
Mary, Cafe Sebastian is on your list, and that's the restaurant at the Kemper Museum, and they take reservations too, right?
They do, and that's another great place to take people from out of town. You could take them, walk through the art museum itself, or just go into the cafe, and every dish is artistic, just like the art on the wall. The chef mixes it up. It's different every weekend. I'm partial, again, I'm sounding like a broken record, to the pork hash.
Hash.
But he also has...
Can we just stop and define hash? Because, okay, well, yeah. Hash, the breakfast item.
Yes. Hash. Hash is typically really crispy fried potatoes, as Liz was saying, and some kind of meat, whether it's corned beef or pork, and often an egg on top, poached or fried.
And the chicken hash is unusual, but it's a thing now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All kinds of meat.
And a great way for restaurants to use up leftovers.
Yeah, right. Very true.
Even better.
It's like the breakfast equivalent of a stir fry.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Mary, you are also mentioning a duck chilaquiles.
Yes, and I love chilaquiles. I'll go miles for a really good chilaquile, and typically it's made with... Sometimes it doesn't even have meat. At Port Fonda, which is another one that I love, they've got a chorizo. But this one is a duck, so you've got the duck confit, And the chilaquiles are tortilla chips that have been smothered in a red sauce or green sauce of some sort. And then you put an egg on top. And theirs is a really upscale version.
The egg on top. It's just speaking to me today, you guys. Are we going to hear about a lot more eggs on top? Because I'm going to get really hungry.
Yes. Okay, from my list, you will.
All right. Well, I do want to read. We have someone from Twitter saying Urban Table has been our go-to over the past couple of years. Great menu. Giant biscuits. Comfy with kids. Very few wide brim hats.
I believe that's April Fleming, another local food writer, so I trust her.
But we haven't heard a lot about biscuits yet.
Biscuits are a thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, kind of everywhere, actually. Yeah, we've got a couple of recommendations, for sure, for District Biscuit, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Chef Guru Khalifa has opened District Biscuit House as a full restaurant now. He started at kind of as a pop-up restaurant within Lutfi's Fried Fish down south. And now he's opened this new spot in the Adams Mark Hotel and Conference Center, which is really close to Arrowhead. So if you're tailgating...
That's a great recommendation, by the way.
Yeah, if you're tailgating, go pick up a biscuit. He's got one of the most indulgent biscuit sandwiches in town. And he spent like a lot of time perfecting his biscuit recipe. And they're super fluffy and sturdy, which is what you want in a biscuit sandwich. So you can grab, I think it's the District Biscuit Royale, which is very appropriately named, which has a buttermilk fried chicken thigh on it, as well as this like classic egg and cheese and bacon. And you can drizzle it with a little honey, which they provide on the side because life is short. Just go whole hog.
Yeah. It is so good. And Adams Mark is a little crazy hotel. I mean, it's relatively inexpensive. When I was there, it was like three giant gymnast teams were teeming in the lobby, a million little teenage girls. And I was there for the biscuit, darn it. So I had the very same thing Liz did. And it just knocks your socks off. And it's so filling and so indulgent and lovely. But yeah, we have biscuits on a, I mean, biscuits and gravy are just a staple on a lot of different menus in town, for sure.
Right. And I've never had one knock my socks off. So I look forward to that. Let's talk to Sarah. Sarah has called us at 816-235-2888 to talk brunch. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
What do you want to share?
I wanted to share, there's a great place, it's newer, the J. Rieger Distillery down in the East Bottoms offers brunch. And if you're looking for some great cocktails to go with some great brunch bites, this is an amazing place. I don't really love Bloody Marys, but they do a beautiful Bloody Mary with some pickled green beans, a beautiful green tomato, and they obviously use their local spirits and some local partners, and it's just a really well-done brunch, no line, and you can have fun at the distillery as well. Their food is fantastic. They do a lot of biscuits, like you guys were talking about, and some healthy like avocado toast options as well. It's a really cool place.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for that call. And, okay, who here is a Bloody Mary fan?
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've got hands going up.
I guess I shouldn't raise my hand on a radio show.
So, Mary, where do you go for a Bloody Mary then, if you're like... trying to raise your hand and answer to that question.
Blue Stem Bar and Rye, both same ownership, have a great Bloody Mary. I love one that's really spicy. And often, you know, you could get a meal in your Bloody Mary by the time they've toothpicked everything. So that's a great spot. And of course, Port Fonda has do-it-yourself Bloody Marys, and you can have green tomato juice, you can have spicy, you can have regular, and then you just add your own toppings and hot sauces.
And Jenny, so you've actually separated all of your recommendations based on booze or no booze.
Yes.
And so from your boozy list, I'm going to just draw out some highlights that appear to be drink-related. You did recommend that Bloody Mary at J. Rieger as well. Mm-hmm. As far as other drinks that one might consume with brunch, if they were inclined to do so, a seasonal spritzer at Fox and Pearl?
Yeah, so Fox and Pearl just started doing their brunches at Sunday only. And, you know, if you love their comforting food that you can get there, obviously at dinner, you're going to adore their brunch. Again, more great biscuits to be found. Lovely cured bacon here that can be had. Eggs, fresh farm eggs. But in terms of their drinks, they have a whole menu full of just specifically brunch drinks. I kind of like the idea of a spritzer because it's a bit of a do-it-your-own adventure. So you can basically kind of pick an Amaro or a liqueur that you want to have in your spritzer. And then you can either top it with Prosecco or truly the malt beverage, canned malt beverage, depending on kind of where you're at calorically and what you're trying to do. I would tell you to go with the Prosecco, but that would be just my fancy pants talking. But I like the idea of a spritzer.
When you mention fancy pants, I have to say, I feel like as someone who orders things like spritzers, I know from experience that you can get kind of like a look if you have... Like, if you have friends who are maybe a little, like, into not seeming too bougie or something, if mm-hmm. you say, I want a spritzer, you know what I mean?
Well, a spritzer is...
I believe in them.
It's a 1980s Fern Bar drink that has come back to haunt us. But the thing is about a spritzer is the most of them, I mean, the reason they were kind of invented was it was supposed to be like part seltzer water and part wine or something sparkling, obviously, to make it kind of a lower alcohol. This is not the case at Fox and Pearl. You're basically picking an Amaro or a lovely liqueur. So you're starting with a lovely booze base.
I like it for the 1980s.
And then you think you're adding more booze on top of it with Prosecco or Truly. So, I wouldn't be afraid of it. But I like this idea of kind of choosing the flavor profile you kind of want to start with.
And then we'll probably get back to drinks, but just quickly, there is one place where it is really the drinks that seem to jump out, and it's a place called Tiki Huna in the Iron District.
Yeah, so basically the Iron District opened up in North Kansas City, and they've got some food containers. So these are shipping containers, basically, that have restaurants in them. Two of them in particular have started to open for brunch, and they're just, I think they're going to try to just basically weather the winter. It's wow. Morning Day Cafe, I know, and Kind Food. So Kind Food is a vegan plant-based truck, very, very good food. Interesting breakfast, too. And Morning Day Cafe used to be up in Liberty. Now they have a location in Nexa, Missouri. And then, of course, they have this trailer. And they have something called Wake and Take. So you can call, place your order, and then they'll bring it out to your car. In addition to and part of this North Kansas City adventure is Tiki Huna, which is basically the bar that is kind of built in. It is its own separate container. And it serves tiki drinks. And there's like a boozy hot chocolate that has a bunch of different rums in it that you can get. So if the weather's nice, I mean, we've had some pretty good days. I know we've got kind of stuff coming, but we've had some pretty nice days. And if you have a day like that where you can just go grab a breakfast bowl from one of the two open and enjoy it with a boozy hot chocolate or a lovely apple cider kind of thing. Most of them are hot right now, obviously, because of the weather. But
sounds pretty good with the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's all good.
Okay. Iron District for brunch in or by a shipping container. Even when it's cold, you guys. Okay, Mark is on the line from Shawnee and wants to talk to us about brunches with live music. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thank you. I go to Chaz on the Plaza in the Raphael Hotel, and they have live music not only every evening, but also 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Sunday brunch. And because the music director is Jessica DeLong of A La Mode, who knows all the best jazz musicians in town, they have great live music. And so I request singing in the lounge near the musicians. And the brunch itself is just menu driven. They have everything from what I had.
You mean like as opposed to a buffet?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, correct. Mark, yeah. thank you for this call. I do want to say, you know, there was this sort of old school brunch in the hotel institution that was very like there was going to be a buffet and it had this certain atmosphere that I'm struggling to quite find the words for. But you know this institution historically in town, right? Mm-hmm. Mary, talk to me about this because it seems... I'm curious about to the extent to which it's still a thing and how it's evolved.
I think you still get them at the casinos and maybe a hotel or two, but that's a day gone by. And it was kind of fill up your plate with as much as you can eat. And
well, I mean, in the last decade, brunch has become a day part. I mean, it is its own thing. So it has its own menu. Chefs are paying more attention to it. They're obviously, you know, creating their own creations. I have to say, I shed no tears for the goodbye of the brunch buffet, the cold rubber eggs that are in the chafing dish. I mean, no thank you. But it was a staple in a hotel. And frankly, that's where everybody went for brunch for years and years and years and years. So I'm happy to see restaurants kind of doing their own take on brunch in their own menus. And if you want...
And hotels doing their own different thing now.
Hotels actually are kind of moving away from the buffet as well with their own menus, as are most restaurants. But another place to listen to live music and have brunch is at the Phoenix. They're still doing their jazz brunch. So if you want to catch some really good live jazz and get a little brunch on the side, go to the Phoenix.
The one buffet I would still recommend is Jarocho's. Yes. Both their locations have a stellar buffet. And this is not your, you know, dried out French toast and overcooked scrambled eggs. You can have shrimp. You can have oysters. They have paella, eggs and chorizo, ceviche, and your order comes with a whole grilled fish. So it's a great place to have brunch. Very low key. They also have small plate specials at brunch, which are fun, all with a Mexican seafood bent.
So I want to get back actually to something that is semi on topic here when we're talking about the Mexican spin on brunch dishes. We've talked about chilaquiles a couple of times. We have more recommendations for chilaquiles on people's lists. And so I want to say that seems to be a brunch item that is becoming, that is no longer just on Mexican restaurant menus. It is pretty across the board.
I think definitely.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of kind of the gastropub is kind of where I'd put it maybe, but certainly it has its roots, obviously, in Mexican cuisine. And I would tell you, we didn't know what chilaquiles was until Port Fonda, and that is pretty sad because we have some incredible Mexican restaurants that have been serving chilaquiles on their menus for years and years and years. But Patrick Ryan, obviously, is so popular, and his restaurant is so popular that I think he really kind of put chilaquiles on a map in a way that now we look
locally.
For it. Mm-hmm. Locally. Now we look for it in other places, which is great, so we can enjoy many different kinds.
So, Mary, you have a few different recommendations for chilaquiles. Port Fonda, which was just mentioned, and also Boulevard Tavern?
Yes, and they're very similar. I mean, it's hard to do chilaquiles too many different ways. You can vary up the sauce or the protein. But this is an excellent version with a green chili sauce and your runny egg on top.
Okay, well, you know, something that we haven't talked about a lot. I'm getting the sense that this particular brunch crowd here in the studio is not such a sweet toothy brunch crowd. Is there anything, any place that anyone would recommend for the pancakes or French toast or waffles? Liz?
Sure. I think Black Sheep on 39 West, they have incredibly fluffy pancakes. So I would highly recommend that if you've got
for
that
the
sweet
fluff.
Tooth. For the fluff, and then kind of like I mentioned earlier, succotash with that modern Elvis, that French toast dish is great.
And Jenny?
Yeah, I've got another one at Brick and Mortar. So it's in Waldo, and it's a relatively new restaurant, but they have the, kind of a bar restaurant vibe to it, so perfect for brunch. And they actually have several savory dishes, but they also do this kind of beautiful French toast with berries and whipped cream and bacon on the side. And they call it Texas French toast because I suspect it's made with Texas toast. That's what it looks like anyway. But, you know, big, thick slices. So this is a place where you can certainly tuck into some really good French toast.
We have to take a break, but when KCUR Central Standard returns, we'll talk a little bit about lunch-leaning brunches, a little dim sum, some more places to go for really good drinks, plus whatever you call in to tell us about. We're making KCUR's official list of the best brunches in Kansas City in 2020, and your go-to brunch spot needs to be on it. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman, back in a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here talking about brunch, a meal you can enjoy even when it's gloomy in mid-January. Mary Block, Liz Cook, Jenny Vergara, welcome back.
Thanks. Thank you.
I dare say it's like one of the life's pleasures that you can still enjoy. Like, January has no bearing. We're still having brunch.
We're missing the patio dogs, which
totally,
is really important.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we do have a lot of recommendations to go and only a little bit of time, so if you want to get your 2 cents in, now is the time to call 816-235-2888. And Liz, you have some shrimp and grits to recommend, and I want to say I think grits are underrated.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So I love the shrimp and grits at Soiree Steak and Oysters, and this is on 18th and Vine. And it's a restaurant by Chef Anita Moore, who opened an original soiree out in Smithville and then brought this concept to Kansas City. And it's a really, usually like a pretty swank, fancy place. They've got live jazz most weekend nights.
Another live jazz place.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they'll have jazz at brunch, too. So you can take a look at their Facebook page and see what's going on that weekend. But brunch is like a little more casual affair. Mm-hmm. And they've got these huge plate glass windows looking over 18th and Vines. You get sunlight streaming in. It just feels really cheery and lovely. But the shrimp and grits are just spiked with cheese. It is a lake of cheese, which is what I want in my grits. I want just like a mess of cheese on that. And it's got a spicy and dewy sausage and this really plump, juicy shrimp in there. So it's a great dish that I recommend.
I want to go to a couple of callers before we get back to our critics' recommendations. We're going to turn to the phones at 816-235-2888. Jan is an independent, and she is a defender of the brunch buffet. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Talk to me.
Yes. Well, I understand those gross ones with the old chafing dishes, but my favorite brunch period happens to be a buffet at Yaya's Euro Bistro. It's on 135th Street between Knoll and closer to Metcalf. And it is fantastic. I believe, I can't remember the name of the chef, but I believe he used to have another restaurant over in Prairie Fire. And it is different every week. It's the most delicate. They keep switching out the dishes constantly, like during the brunch service. They're so fresh. They're so awesome. And you can get both breakfast and brunch, which is my, or lunch, which is my big nitpick about people who say they have a brunch menu, but it's just, you have to pick. Why pick? It's brunch. You're supposed to have both. So there, it is just fantastic. They have the most wonderful little dishes, and it's also the best value if you go to the early bird special. I hesitate to even advertise for them because I don't want anyone to know about it, but I have to say how great they are.
This brings
They're
us back
so
to
awesome.
Yeah, Liz's concern about brunch. But so Jan brings up an interesting point in the midst of recommending Yaya's buffet. Having nothing to do with buffets, this idea that brunch is supposed to be the hybrid breakfast and lunch, it is increasingly, to my mind, kind of just breakfast that's bigger and later with a drink. But some places this is not the case. And Mary, you are recommending a Reuben for brunch.
I am. At Black Sheep Market, it's on the menu for lunch. And I think it's the best Reuben in town. And it's on the brunch menu. And you ought to get it.
You ought to get it.
Well, and a lot of places just add their lunch menu or some items from their yep. lunch menu to their... So they might do a separate brunch menu and then just kind of carry over some of the lunch right. items. So,
but like at Fox and Pearl that we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier, they have a lot of egg dishes. But one of the great dishes that I would consider more lunchy is they have a smoked beef belly pastrami mm-hmm. that they cook in their smoker. And then they... make that into a breakfast or a sandwich. I guess I shouldn't say breakfast sandwich mm-hmm. with cheddar and peppers and an egg, and it's marvelous.
Yeah, your description, it actually, it has pastrami on it, right?
It does, and it comes right out of their smoker.
Have you had their goat chorizo with the fried egg on top?
No.
Kind of dish. Oh my gosh. So this, basically, it comes with a little salsa, and it also has those caramello flour, Sonoran styles tortillas from Lawrence that I just adore, and it's just such a good, like, talk about kind of tucking in and enjoying a dish, but really, really good. I highly recommend, and a little bit of spice to it. Not
All
too bad.
Three of you recommended this place. We're talking about Fox and Pearl, and Liz, what do you like to get there? It is also a little bit lunchier.
Yeah, so I recommend the braised pork burrito there, and kind of like I talked about at the top of the show, I think brunch at Fox and Pearl is a much more approachable way to kind of get in there. So on my journalist budget, I might not, you know, it might be a special occasion place for me, but the brunch menu is a little bit more affordably priced for someone like me. And that braised pork burrito is just beautiful. So it's also huge, which mm-hmm. I think a lot of our lunchy style recommendations are stemming from the fact that, like, you went out the night before, it's Sunday, you're a little hazy, you need something to soak up those regrets. And that braised pork burrito is just packed with fried potatoes, which stay fried, tender white beans, and a lot of pork. And you can get a side of the house fermented hot sauce, which kind of rotates pretty frequently, and it's always worth ordering.
And Jenny, let's just stick with lunchier items for a minute. There's a place where you like both the lamb burger and a salmon sandwich for brunch.
Yeah, I mean, those are on the lunch menu at Paros Estatorio, which is the new kind of upscale Greek restaurant that has opened up in Mission Farms. And if you haven't been, I think it's one of the most exciting restaurant openings that we had in 2019, opened up toward the end of the year. But this is the woman for 10 years at Cozy Cafe has brought us an amazing breakfast. Cosetta Cozy Creta is her name, and she's basically kind of the chef and oversees the kitchen at her new restaurant that she's opened with her son. And they have a brunch menu that's really, really interesting. She's got obviously omelets and benedicts on there as well, but she also has some of her most popular lunch items that she's pulled over, which include the lamb burger and a gyro, which are all delicious. And I like the salmon sandwich idea just because I'm kind of a sucker for a fish sandwich. I do enjoy a fish sandwich. But the most interesting thing I think on her brunch menu is something she calls tiers, which are basically kind of a tiered, you know, comes to the table with several different plates that are kind of on the
like
stand.
Like the seafood tower
concept. Yeah, like a seafood tower. And she has it kind of underneath themes. So there's like a croissant one where that has you know, almond butter, and it has berries, and it has jam, and it has some ham and cheese. There's another one that's more kind of Greek yogurt based, where you can kind of choose your own adventure and a platter of different things to kind of make your Greek yogurt with.
The presentation sounds very decadent.
Well, I mean, it's kind of harks back to like high tea, if you will. I mean, it's kind of that kind of feel to it, but it's perfect for sharing. So those tiers are priced a little bit higher, but I would tell you it's perfect for two to share.
Let's talk to Katie in Kansas City about a place that she is excited about that is opening this weekend. Katie?
Yes, it's me.
Yes, tell us.
Hi, Gina. I'm talking about Seven Swans Creperie, and it was a food truck for many years, and she's opening in the West Side this weekend, 17th in Washington.
Okay, and this is actually on somebody's list.
It's on my list.
Tell me, Jenny, tell me what we need to know.
Yeah, so basically, as she said, from 8 to 4 p.m. This Saturday is going to be the Seven Swans Creperie. And if you're not familiar, she had a food truck for many years. And she's really got an interesting take on crepes. She does do savory and sweet, but she also does a lot of vegan and gluten-free as well. So there's lots of options for different kinds of people. She's going to be changing it up seasonally. That's the other thing that I like about her menu is that it's not just a constant, you can always find this. She basically, just depending on kind of what season it is, when she had her food truck, I had a really delicious lemon curd with berries, very fresh and lovely. And I also had like an Indian chickpea kind of filling in my crepe for a savory twist. I think that was also vegetarian. But her new location is beautiful. It's in a little location that's kind of part of a bigger apartment complex, kind of toward the west side. It's basically 17th and Washington. But you have to go in there and see this place. And she does have things other than crepes. She's got coffee drinks. I believe she's going to eventually have a few salads and sandwiches.
And I want to say,
cookies, homemade cookies.
When the food truck kind of got started, the Seven Swans Creperie, I remember they would sort of announce on social media where they were going to be. And very early on, I remember going to where it was going to be. And there were so many people who wanted to go that it was going to be, you know, like an hour wait that day or something. And I'm not sure that that's still going on, but clearly there's a demand for whatever it is they're doing.
Katie's done a really great job, and she spent a lot of time and money, obviously. I mean, she did a bit of a Kickstarter to try to kind of get this place open, but this spot is the perfect place, and it looks like her on the inside. She's done so much hard work to this space, and she's still planning to keep the truck, and hopefully once spring comes, she'll have both the truck and her restaurant running, but this is going to be kind of your new favorite place to tuck in and get, you know, crepe or coffee or meet somebody for, she has her a cookie that she made that was like her grandmother's recipe she's got on Facebook right now. I want that cookie. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk down there on Saturday and go see Katie.
Let's talk to Greg calling from Smithville. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Gina.
What do you want to share?
I'm a Kansas City transplant out to Smithville, and in Kansas City, my go-to spot was always Black Sheep Market. But there's a new exciting bistro that just opened, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, out here called Aroma Bistro.
In Smithville?
In Smithville. It's actually where Soiree used to be.
Okay.
Speaking about chilaquiles, they have a poblano cream chilaquiles with a beautiful medallion of tenderloin on it, filet mignon, and then two eggs. And they have a variety of other awesome dishes, a tres leches, brioche, French toast.
And this is called Aroma Bistro?
Aroma Bistro. They've only been open a short while.
Well, it sounds like we're going to have to check that out. Thanks for calling, Greg. And I do want to say, before we miss out on hearing this, Jenny, you have a dim sum experience you want to tell us about. And that is also like a very specific kind of version of brunch that has kind of a following. People are interested in it. Where do you like to go in Kansas City for dim sum?
So there's kind of three places that I tend to go to quite frequently. Today I'm recommending ABC Cafe, and I'm recommending them because they have dim sum basically available all day and into the evening. It's just, you know, it is on their menu. It is part of their menu. So you don't have to wait till Saturday and Sunday, whereas at Bowling's and I believe Pine and Bamboo, which is my other two picks, you have to wait till the weekends. Obviously, it takes a lot of work to do these, and it's just a smattering. Heart's Desire is basically kind of the loose translation of dim sum. And, you know, this is one of those things where it's, you have to get something, steamed dumplings. So you have to get something steamed. You have to get something that's fried and crunchy, like, you know, a little spring roll or something that has vegetables in it. They have all kinds of different dim sums. There's dessert, more sweet things like an egg custard that's delicious and some coconut rice. They also have, you know, more savory things. And you just kind of cover your table with all of these little bites, and it's a shared experience. Hopefully there's a Lazy Susan so you can spin the Lazy Susan and kind of spread the wealth in terms of what you have. But hot tea is definitely what you're drinking here with your dim sum. That's truly traditional. But we have a lot of two or three great places, but ABC Cafe in particular does a really nice job. Now, the one thing that you will miss at ABC, because it's a smaller space, is they don't have the steam carts. So they're not going to come around to your table as you would maybe at Bowling's or somewhere else. But you can just basically order off the menu and they'll just kind of pace it for you and bring it out to you, which is fun. It's fun and communal. And I'm telling you, I have a craving for dim sum at breakfast time more than maybe any other flavor profile. So if Mary's eating a good Mexican breakfast, I'm probably having dim sum.
I'll have a runny egg. We have a call that I don't have time to take, but I do want to address that Jacob is telling us that the Antler Room used to serve brunch. He misses it, and what he especially misses is a corn pancake. I've never had a corn pancake, but it sounds like maybe it would be similar to cornbread. Is there anything that might satisfy Jacob's craving now that Antler Room doesn't do brunch?
So I know Fox and Pearl does do corn pancakes.
Okay, like a hoe cake, yeah, they call them.
Yeah, hoe cakes. There's several of them that do. He should try Mickey's Hideaway, the new place that opened up in Westport.
Okay, Mickey's Hideaway in Westport, Jacob. Give it a try. So if you each have one last word that you can get in, whether it's a place we need to hear about that we haven't gotten to or a brief statement on how we brunch in Kansas City, whatever, what's it going to be?
Okay, so I'll go with my controversial brunch opinion, which is that the bottomless mimosa needs to go away. I mean, my days of drinking $4 bottles of André are behind me. So
there you go.
I'm all about the savory, I'm all about the Bloody Marys, and I'd love to see more micheladas on brunch menus locally.
Mm-hmm. The place we haven't mentioned yet that's really my go-to is Happy Gillis. They do brunch all day, every day that they're open.
Brunch mm-hmm. all day, every day, and a favorite item to get there is?
The breakfast burrito.
Okay. And Jenny?
I'm going to pick Press Penny Tavern, which is kind of an unusual spot, just a little bit outside of the Westport area. But they basically are doing brunch 7 days a week. This is kind of their talk about lunch and brunch combo menu. But they have a lot of really interesting kind of cocktails and drinks, as well as more kind of classic brunchy stuff.
And we do have time for you to tell us about some of them.
Okay, so basically there's several omelets that I like there that are kind of, they do a lot of veg-filled things, so there are gluten-free and vegetable vegan options. I think they have a bottomless mimosa, I know, and maybe a Bloody Mary as well, kind of in the mix there. But their cocktails, they have something called a mammosa too, which is kind of interesting. It's basically beer with kind of fruit juice and...
A manmosa?
Manmosa.
Okay.
So if you need to, you know, if you're intimidated to get a mimosa, you can go get a manmosa.
And so this is sort of standing in stark contradiction to what Liz has urged, you're saying the mimosa has potential to
they
branch
totally
out.
Could do a michelada though, so for yeah. for Liz, you know, they will
look, brunch is a democratic meal,
I know. If you've got beer and you've got Bloody Mary mix, you can do make that happen. So
you know, we do have just a little more time, so Mary, why don't you go ahead and tell us about, you know, we know you love hash rye, you are recommending for their burnt end hash and a cinnamon roll to end on something sweet.
Sounds good. Yeah, Colby Geraltz owns Rye, and he knows his barbecue, and he bottles his own barbecue sauce. And the burnt end hash is a really hearty dish. It's a little different than what you typically have because it's got a sauce, but it's got onions and peppers and the spicy tomato sauce, which is really, if you want brunch and barbecue together, that's the thing to do. And then Megan Geraltz is the pastry chef. A cinnamon roll the size of your head. Get it, share it for the table.
The cinnamon roll is a Kansas City institution as well.
They both are, really.
I don't think I'd share my cinnamon roll, Mary.
Well, that's true.
I think I would eat it all myself.
You want to have room for something else.
Yeah, I heard. Heard that.
Our time is up, but the complete list of the best brunch spots in Kansas City as of 2020 will be online over the weekend at kcur.org, so check it out. Mary Block, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Mary has a food blog, Around the Block, and Jenny Vergara with us from Feast Magazine. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Liz Cook, thanks for joining us today from The Pitch.
Great to be here, Gina. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for the day and the week. Listen back to anything you might have missed, especially yesterday's conversation about bike safety here in Kansas City, a really timely and important topic and a really important discussion, which we'll continue having. Also, Monday's chat with the chef at Misab. He joined us to share his personal story of growing up in Haiti with dreams of being a businessman. You can get it all at kcur.org/centralstandard. This show is produced by Melody Rao, Mackenzie Martin, and Noah Tabor. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay warm this weekend.